In the message this morning, I'm going to deal with a particular thing that we need to really think about, something that will help us and feel His presence and appreciate what He has done with the help of the Spirit. Would you stand? I'm just going to read one verse, not to exposit it, but just to focus on and meditate the great love of God. Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that after we got things all together," right? "God commendeth His love toward us because we were righteous and holy." "But God commendeth His love towards us after we had done great things, proved ourselves worthy." Any of those things in your Bible? Think about this. "But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners." He loved us when we were sinners. How many believes that? He loved us when we were sinners. And He proved it. Christ died for us. But more than proving it, here's what I want us to get this morning. The reason He can love us as sinners is because Christ died for us. I want to preach this morning on hate sin, love the sinner. How? How? How do you do that? How do you love the sinner and hate sin? How do you do that? Would you pray with me? Won't you stretch forth a hand this pulpit direction and pray this morning? God, You're the eternal God. You're the almighty God. You're Father God. You're God that drew salvation's plan. You're the God that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf Your love did span at Calvary. Lord, make it real all over to us again. Lord, You know every struggle, every difficulty of every person. You know where every person's mind is this morning. You know where every person's heart is this morning. Lord, You know the contents of thought, the contents of the heart. Lord, I pray You'd meet every need in this place. If someone's here that needs to be saved, Lord, You'd save them. Encourage them. Strengthen them, Lord, and move through the preaching of the Word. And may this time at Your table be special. Be here in a real way, Lord. Anoint me to speak Your Word in Jesus' name. And all God's people said amen. You can be seated. There's a special sense of God's presence in the house. The type of message I'm going to preach, and this is a bit rhetorical to put it this way, but you just kind of have to really stay with the thread to get what it's all about. But I noticed since the Supreme Court debacle of legalizing same-sex marriage, I noticed that many Christians have spoken out very vehemently against it, very strongly. And, of course, we ought to speak out against sin. But I notice after a particular scathing comment or vehement remark, they would say something like this: "But we Christians are to hate sin and love the sinner." Anyone else notice that? They would put that in there as a qualifier. "I feel so strongly against this, but we Christians are to hate sin and love the sinner." You know, it's a dangerous thing to try to ascertain people's motives, but I wonder if they didn't just add that quote so they wouldn't look like bigots. As they spake out against sin, they didn't want people to think they were bigots, and so they, "Well, we really do love the sinner. We hate the sin, but we love the sinner." I don't know. I mean, you can try to figure that out yourself. And then I did wonder, and I would put myself in that category, but when they're speaking out so vehemently and saying they hate this sin, my question is, do they really hate sin or do they just hate that sin? Think about it. Other than the victims, when's the last time you've heard a Christian or anyone speak out and say, "I hate fornication. I hate adultery. I hate lying. I hate backbiting." So, you know, it was hard not to wonder if they really hate sin or they just hate that sin. And thinking of this, often the hatred of sin comes through a lot more strongly than the loving of the sinner. Is that right? The point is, my point this morning is, it is extremely difficult to do both at the same time. I would agree with me. It's difficult to hate the sin and love the sinner at the same time. I want us just to pause. You know, we can preach about other folks, but I just want an honesty survey here. It's not going to be scientific. But how many would lift a hand this morning and say, if I'm honest with myself, it's hard for me to hate sin and love the sinner at the same time? It is. Let's talk about this. You see, hating the sin and loving the sinner is a very difficult thing to do. If we truly find sin repulsive, the problem is, in finding sin repulsive, we find the sinner repulsive as well. It's built into it. And we've seen those who have celebrated over this Supreme Court decision. We've seen them do lewd acts before the camera in the streets and their celebration. And we find that repulsive. And finding the sin repulsive, we find the sinner repulsive. I don't know, just be honest. We deal with something like molestation and rape and abuse. We find that so repulsive, we find the sinner. Cold-blooded murder, that's repulsive. We find the sinner repulsive as well. It's a problem to do both at the same time. On the other hand, if we truly love the sinner, if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves tempted to overlook, to ignore, to justify the sin of the person we love. How many knows we have a U.S. senator from Ohio who spake out strongly against a certain sin until it was in his family, his son, and then he changed his belief because, yes, he loved the sinner. And he, loving the sinner, he began to justify the sin, overlook the sin. And so either finding the sin repulsive, we find the sinner repulsive, or either loving the sinner, we begin to overlook the sin. And so the point is, it is, if we're honest, true, hard to hate sin and love the sinners. You see, sometimes it's hard to hate sin, especially our sin. Right? Amen. But other times it's hard to love the sinner. Amen. If we have trouble loving our own family members sometimes, if we have trouble loving our brothers and sisters, don't you think we're going to have trouble loving sinners? Sometimes it's hard to hate sin. Sometimes it's hard to love the sinner. Sometimes it's hard to do either. Sometimes you hate the sin and you hate the sinner too. Amen. It's just that way. But you see, the reality is the most difficult thing is to do both at the same time, to hate sin and love the sinner. But I want to talk to us as a group of people. The point is, we are to do both. We are responsible to do both. We are to hate sin and love the sinner. How many believes this morning we are to hate sin? How many knows in the Bible there is a strong connection that we love God no more than we hate sin? It is there. Just one scripture, the psalmist says, ye that love the Lord hate evil. Amen. I know so little is called sin today. Amen. And very few really believe that God finds sin repulsive and revolting. But I want you to know the Bible is clear. There is something called sin. It's a violation of God's word, a violation of God's nature. And I'm not going to preach what sin is this morning. I just want to tell you, there is sin, and God does find it repulsive, and the scripture is clear. If I truly love the Lord, I will hate sin. And so we are to hate sin, but we are also to love sinners. There's sins flaunted before us today in such a way that we believe that those who are sinning are our enemies, and in many cases, they are our enemies. Make no mistake, these that have promoted and pushed and are proponents of this sin, they are enemies of Christ. They are enemies of you and I. But don't forget what Jesus said. He said, love your very enemies. Love your enemies. Not only is Scripture clear that I'm to hate sin, but Scripture is clear that I'm to love my enemies. To be honest, we struggle with this. How are we truly going to hate sin and at the same time love the sinner? How can we really love the sinner and not accept his sin? Oh, if we could just do one thing at a time, either hate the sin or love the sin. But how are we going to do both at the same time? It is a problem. Our problem is, as I have enumerated or made clear, we either hate the sin or love the sinners. But we're going to see this morning that there's a way to do it. And God has shown us the way to hate sin and love the sinner. You see, the second thing I want to make clear with this is God had that problem too. God had that problem too. Now, I want to be very clear this morning. God being God, in a sense, has no problems, has no imperfections. But looking at it from our viewpoint, God had a problem with hating sin and loving the sinner. Amen. You see, how can he have the problem? I want to tell you, the problem is that he does do both. God hates sin. God loves the sinner. The problem was, how does he do both at the same time? Amen. And you may think I'm being redundant, but you'll see as I bring it together, God hates sin. Not just one kind of sin, not just a particular sin, not just one person's sin. God hates sin, all sin, any sin. Everybody's sin. Even God hates sin. He is holy. And being holy, he finds sin repulsive. And being holy, his holiness cries out, judge the sin. Sin, God, send your wrath against the sin. Punish those who have sinned. That all comes from his nature of holiness. I think the prophet Habakkuk put it better than anyone could. He says this of God, thou art of pure eyes than to behold evil and canst not look on iniquity. God cannot even look on iniquity. He finds it so repulsive. God hates sin, but just as emphatically, God loves the sinner. If you find yourself arguing against that, well, there's some people God doesn't love. I want you to remember something. God loved you and God loved me. That ought to be enough proof that God loves the sinner. He loves every human, whatever the ethnicity, whatever the economic background, whatever the past of sin. God loves every person. And here's the problem. Being holy, God hates sin. But being loved, God loves the sinner. How does he do both at the same time? Amen. Just one more time. Let me show you this problem. If he truly hates sin, he'll have to judge sin. He'll have to destroy the sinner. He'll have to judge the sinner. Put him in oblivion. Put him in a place called hell and eternal flames of punishment. But if he loves the sinner, amen, he would have to overlook the sin. He would have to ignore the sin. But it's impossible for God to overlook the sin. How's he going to do both at the same time? Amen. This is that problem. But could I tell you what the answer is? Could I tell you the solution to God's problem? It's very simply, it's the cross. I said, it's the cross. That's how God hates sin and loves the sinner. That's what we celebrate this morning. Through the cross, God hated sin, but he loved the sinner. Oh, hallelujah. No wonder the cross is the core of our message. Is there anyone here that's thankful for the cross? Amen. How does that work? How is that the solution? Because Jesus took the sinner's place. Jesus suffered on the cross the penalty of every sinner's sin. I said God could not overlook sin. On the cross, God did not overlook sin. I said, being holy, God had to judge sin. on the cross, God judged sin. I said, being holy, God had to send his wrath on sin. On the cross, he sent his wrath upon sin. Amen. God so hated sin. Amen. He placed it on his only begotten Son. And why Jesus bore our sin on the cross, he suffered the punishment and the penalty of the sin that God hated. Why? So God could let me, the sinner, go free. He judged Jesus and let me go free. He hated my sin on Jesus and loved me, the sinner, to set me free. Oh, are you glad for it this morning that Jesus had to die on the cross? Speaks of God's hatred for sin. But that Jesus was willing to come and die on the cross speaks of God's love for the sinner, such as you and I. Oh, how does he hate sin? How does he love the sinner at the same time? He did it at the cross. Even as Jesus hung there, God was hating the sin and loving the sinner. And nothing's changed since that sacrificial death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, if we don't consider the cross as a solution, there's some errors that we can fall into. There's some errors from not considering the cross. The first error that we can fall into is that sin is so despicable. Sin is so despicable that God can't truly love some sinners. It was a fiasco. You may remember the Westboro Baptist Church, that at the funeral of those that they viewed as the worst of sinners, they would picket and have signs that said, God hates homosexuals and God hates, and using other slang for it. Oh, they were hating sin, all right. But they had fallen into the error of believing if sin is to be hated, then